today on Real Radio.
By the sacrifice of Christ at the cross in my place, God went in Christ where I was supposed to go. I was supposed to suffer for my sins. Jesus took my place as my Savior Redeemer, as my sacrifice. By the way, your sacrifice also. He died for the sins of the world.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You That Jesus is Lord, Part 2, continues a series called Who Told You? You know, oftentimes our doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we'll learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. The title of Lord is used very often in Scripture when referring to Jesus Christ. For example, in Luke chapter 2, the story of the birth of Jesus tells his title is Lord in verse 11, which says, "For there is born unto you in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Jesus is called Lord because God sent him down to earth to represent his authority and his will for our lives. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that Jesus is unchangeable. The same Jesus that spoke to Moses from the burning bush is the same Jesus from the line of King David who slew Goliath and the same Jesus of the New Testament Gospels. And now, continuing his lesson called Who Told You That Jesus is Lord, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
You tell them, I am that I am sent you. And the word in Hebrew, I am that I am, is the self-contained eternal one. You say, well, who cares? Well, so what? Oh, you're going to care, so what, in a second. That's exactly what Jesus said in John's gospel. This set those guys on fire to the point where they started to figure out how they're going to kill him now. I'll prove it to you in a moment. Jesus said, I am. Jesus said, the same one in the bush with Moses, me. That's what Jesus was saying. I'm the one in the bush. I'm the one on the mountain. That's who Moses met with. I am, the name of God. John 8:24 says, therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Next, John 10:32, the exclusive position of Jesus. Jesus answered and said to them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you want to stone me? The Jews answered and said to him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but you for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Do you hear that, everybody? Jesus declared in numerous accounts that he was none other than God. And then the next thing that we see is Jesus Lord. Well, if he's Lord, he has to be immutable. According to the Bible, the God of the Bible is immutable. What does that mean? He can't change. That's good news, by the way. You know, God says I can't change. Listen, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. The Bible there says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and for how long? Forever. Look what the Bible says. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know why I'm so glad about that? God, listen, by the sacrifice of Christ at the cross in my place, God went in Christ where I was supposed to go. I was supposed to suffer for my sins. Jesus took my place as my Savior Redeemer, as my sacrifice. By the way, your sacrifice also. He died for the sins of the world. If you wind up in hell after this message, that's because you chose to go there. He doesn't want you to go there. He came so that you wouldn't have to go. He came so that you would come to him. So he was there in my place. And you know what's awesome? God still says, sometimes I have to check in my Bible, but God still says in the Bible, I so loved you, Jack, that if you put your faith or trust in me, you would not perish, Jack, but you would have everlasting life. That's what my Bible says. Yours might say Betty or Sue or Bill or Barty or whatever. You, me, personally, I'm glad that God is unchangeable. You want to know why? You know how people, you know, look, we know humans are this way. Today, maybe somebody loves you. Tomorrow, you don't know. Let's be honest. I'm going to give you a little diversion, rabbit trail. You know, everybody puts a lot of effort in the dating, the courting, the wedding day. You know, the real stuff happens after the next day. You want to know why? Because, you know, before the wedding, it's like, oh, man, she's beautiful. You know how it is. Listen, we've all seen this happen. It's all happened to us. Oh, man, when she looks at me like that, I just kind of lose my mind. Oh, when I got a, I could just smell him. And I just, oh, I don't know what to do. I hear a song singing. That's awesome. And that will last 18 to 22 months, psychologists tell us. 18 to 22 months. Don't get married in the first 18 to 22 months. You're running off a human active power. It's infatuation, we call this. It's all hormonal. It's all feeling. But listen, real marriages last after the feelings dissipate. And you wake up the next morning and the next morning and the next morning and the next year and the next decade. And you realize, you know what? She doesn't look the way she did 20 years ago. And she looks at you and says, I don't remember that hairline or that body or that breath for that matter. Where'd you come from? Did you know that it's a decision? Did you know that every day a marriage will last when both parties understand that I need to keep myself in the love of this marriage? That's a choice. The Bible tells us that we need to keep ourselves in the love of God because life is difficult. Life is hard. Finances, health, challenges, difficulties. And if you're emotional about it, you're going to be thinking, golly, doesn't God love me anymore? Oh, listen, yes, God loves you. That never changes. The honeymoon's over, friend. It's time to walk by faith. And you choose to walk with God. And in a marriage, it's the exact same way. You choose to walk in that marriage. You decide, I'm going to make this thing work. I don't even know why I'm talking about this right now. It has nothing to do with the message. What was I saying? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God loves you today. He's going to love you tomorrow. You're not going to wake up next week and God's going to say, you know what? You, out of the kingdom. I changed my mind. Oh no, you come to Christ and you're secure in Christ. God will never, never turn you away. He never changes. He's always the same. And he wants to save you and he wants to present you before his presence in heaven. He cannot change. The second argument today, and we'll end with this one, is how does Jesus being Lord affect me? We asked that question last week about him being the Christ, and today we ask it about him being the Lord. How does Jesus being Lord? Okay, Pastor, if I concede that Jesus is Lord, how does it affect me, really? Well, it's going to affect you a lot. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, the Apostle Paul said something that tragically today is greatly misunderstood. If you're not aware of this, then be happy. But many people today are reading 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, and they're messing up themselves and others. In 1 Corinthians 12, 3, the apostle wrote to the Greeks, and he said, therefore, I make known to you that no one, speaking by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed. In other words, the Holy Spirit, in the life of a believer, would never curse Christ. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So again, some people today are saying things like this, and I'm not kidding. If you're not aware about what I'm going to say, then you should thank God. But there are people in religious circles saying, hey, you don't have to change the way you live. You don't have to change anything about your life. Just do me a favor. Listen, everyone. Are you listening? Yeah. Just do this. Just say Jesus is Lord. Just say it. Go ahead and say it. Just say it. Just, so people would say it, and they would say, see, look, you just said it. You're saved. You don't need to repent. You don't need to follow. You don't need to read your Bible. Just say it. Listen, why don't you go down to the store and buy a rabbit's foot? It'll work better. This is some kind of Christian voodoo. Just say Jesus is Lord like it's some sort of a chant, a mantra. Just say it and you're good, you're in. No, 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 no. Remember, the gospel is repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Paul is saying, listen, you can't say it and mean it without the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. And as a believer, we cannot turn on Christ because the Holy Spirit will not allow that. It's important. So watch. How does Jesus being Lord affect you, affect me? Because Jesus is Lord, he alone is sovereign. The Bible teaches that he's sovereign. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, Revelation 1:7, it says, "Behold, he is coming with clouds." This is his second coming, not the rapture, the second coming. "Every eye will see him," everybody on earth, "even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him." Even so, amen. Verse 8, who's coming? "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty." That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is sovereign. Next, Jesus is Lord, and he alone rules. The Bible says Jesus rules from heaven. Now look, let's be honest. You would say, if Jesus rules from heaven, then he's not doing a very good job because this earth's messed up. Oh, I see where you're coming from, and I understand where you're coming from, but that's not what the scripture teaches. First of all, Jesus rules eternally from heaven. Watch. That means in the here and now, in our time zone, throughout human existence, even the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, his birth, his ascension, Christ alone is forever. And he rules from heaven. Watch this. Kings installed and kings deposed. Governments come in and go out. The borders of nations, says the book of Daniel, God establishes. Presidents come and go. Leaders come and go. According to the Bible, all under the watchful eye of Christ. Kingdoms invade kingdoms. Wars take place. Times of peace. All the things with the weather and the earthquakes and all the stuff. God is watching from above. But there's a day coming when he will come to us. The Bible says he will return to earth, which is exciting. You think about it. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14, nearly 3,000 years ago, that when Christ returns, he's going to return to Jerusalem in Israel. Trump didn't think that one up this week. That's in the Bible. When Christ comes, he's coming to Jerusalem, the Bible says. And the Bible says he's going to establish his dominion, his politic, there in Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, upon the throne of David. What an awesome thing. He will rule, and he's coming. The Bible says in Revelation 11, verse 15, "Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven." This is at the latter end of the tribulation period. "The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and shall reign forever and ever." That's talking about the return of Jesus when he rules heaven and earth from Jerusalem. Next, because Jesus is Lord, he alone judges. He's the judge. In John chapter 5, Jesus says the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. Do you think about Jesus being the judge? You ever think like that? First of all, aren't you pretty disgusted with the injustice that's going on in the world? Apparently, if you've got the money or the influence, you can get out of anything these days. It's frustrating. I hear you. By the way, you know what? There's a lot of terrible things apparently happening. I'm not privy to anything, but happening in Hollywood, happening in the movie industry, happening in the music industry, happening in politics, this person, this person, that. But listen, we all need to be careful in life, period, that we don't get on a bandwagon or on a slippery slope, that if you just accuse somebody, because listen, I could go around accusing you. I've had enough meetings with people. I know a lot about people's lives, and some of them very important people sitting in counseling. I could say something. I don't even have to do that. Do you know that I could lie about somebody and ruin their life? That's an injustice. You can't bounce back from that. You can say something about somebody and destroy them, and it doesn't have to be true. With all that's going on in the world today, what is true and what is false? I don't know, but I know one who knows the truth. And when he comes, he's going to judge righteously. And he knows everything about everything, and nothing will make it past him in that day. No one will escape his awesome judgment. He's coming. And then we consider this, and it's the best. Because Jesus is Lord, he alone is. Say what? Now, look, I don't know if that's good grammar or not. I failed every aspect of grammar possible. Because Jesus is Lord, he alone is. I should have put a capital I and a capital S just for fun. You see, what do you mean? Well, there's one way to close the deal this morning. I need you to take a deep breath. Let it out. Okay. We need to get defibrillators ready. Smelling salts. If any of our Jewish friends are here right now this morning, I'm going to take you to the Jewish scriptures. I'm going to take you to a man I love, a man who I aspire to be like, a man that all of us would like to be like, and that's King David. He's amazing. What an amazing human being. What an amazing man. King David wrote a psalm that I'm wondering if you even knew that he wrote it, because you know it from the New Testament. In Psalm 110, verse 1, David wrote this. By the way, he's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. The Lord, say, wait, Lord. That's Yahweh, the supreme Lord, the one and only. Church, for 50 minutes, I've been talking to you about that one right here. This one. This is the one. This is the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Are you with me? This is the one. Follow. It's going to get confusing. Follow. The Lord said to my Lord, Kyrios, Yah, Kyrios, listen. So David says, hey, the Lord said to my Lord, what did he say, David? Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Family, think. The Lord has a right hand. That's a reference, if you're Jewish, to the throne of God. Everybody knows this. If you read your Bible and you're Jewish, you go, the right hand of God is his throne. So what's going on here? David, the patriarch of Israel, David says, hey, the Lord said to my Lord. See this, Lord? David is saying in this psalm, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'm writing this psalm by prophetic utterance. David's touched by God, and he's writing prophetically. Watch me. David, imagine. I'm David right now. You have to imagine really hard. I'm David. David said, listen, from the distant future, from my loins, from my DNA, will come someone who's related to me. That one, I will bow to. Stop right there. Fathers do not bow to sons. In the Hebrew mind, sons bow to fathers. Fathers do not bow to sons. Whatever's going on, David is really good with it. David is saying, in the far, far future, someone will come from my DNA. Him, I will bow. I will worship him. And you want to know why? Because the Lord said to him, the one I worship, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The word in the Hebrew means, sit at my right hand, I will line up your enemies, and you can stand on their neck with your foot. Jesus is going to stand on the neck of his enemies someday, by order of the Father, by order of God. And David will bow to his son in the flesh. You read this morning Luke chapter 2, did you not? Do you remember I told you in verse 4 we could stop and do the whole day just right there on that verse? Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, had to come from the lineage of David of the house of Bethlehem. It had to be him that David would bow to his future son who is Lord over all. And God, listen, God says, I approve. Listen, with all due respect, allow me to put it this way. God is saying, and I will scoot over on my throne, and he, the Lord, shall sit next to me. God shares his throne with nobody, friends. God shares his glory. all morning you've been hearing that he's the Lord, he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There's no other God but him only. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God manifested in three persons. It's what the Bible teaches. And Jesus is going to be enthroned in heaven above as he is right now there. David is talking about an event that's going on now. But Jesus will come back because he must sit upon the throne of David, which is in Jerusalem. He's never sat on that throne yet. He's coming again. And then we close the deal with this in Matthew 22, verse 41. In fact, you can all stand. That's how serious I am about closing. Matthew 22, 41. This is amazing. Follow with me. Matthew 22, 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, of course, they're fighting against Jesus. Jesus launches a preemptive attack. Jesus asked them, saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" Now, all of a sudden, they broke into a huddle from hell. They went and they started talking. There's no doubt about it. They know from Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament teaches, that the Christ comes from David. So they come to the natural conclusion, he's going to be David's son. Everybody knows that. Jesus is in full agreement. He might have even given them a thumbs up. Right on, guys. You got that one right. Good for you. They said to him, the son of David. Verse 43, he said to them, notice the lobbying back and forth. How then does David in the spirit, that is under the possession, indwelling, empowerment, anointing of the Holy Spirit, call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Here's verse 45. Jesus said to them, if David then calls him Lord, if David bows to him, worships him, acknowledges him as God, how is he his son? Jesus nails these guys. Translation, you're right. The Messiah comes from David. But you guys aren't reading carefully, he would say to them. David bows down to his future son and calls him Lord. How can someone greater than David come from David's guts? Because the one who came from David's guts is none other than God who manifested himself in humanity. Closing the deal right here, verse 46. And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him anymore. Kaboom. Father, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You That Jesus is Lord? Part 2. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you've made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Who Told You That Jesus is Lord? Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, as well as his plan for our lives and the future of his church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Our new series is coming real soon. It's simply called The Book of Acts. In this series on the New Testament Book of Acts, we see a lot of persecution and suffering. So when we are weighed down with our own trouble, we often wonder if this really is God's plan for us. The book of Acts walks us through the struggles of the first century church and how God is always there to comfort them, and us for that matter, through our most difficult times. Hey, by the way, we just recently ended a four-part message called Who Told You About the Church? And I want to tell you a little bit about this special promotion we've got going on. These messages really do teach you how to determine whether a church is a true biblical church or not. If Jesus Christ is at the helm of that church, it can't be defeated. But if men are at the helm, that church is already defeated. It may not have fallen yet, but it is powerless, unprotected, and pretty much doomed. Pastor Jack Hibbs shares the importance of the church being Christ-centered in these key areas: teaching, influence, witness, impact, worship, obedience, and most importantly, its love for Christ and others. For a limited time, you can get this four-part message for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.